Welcome to The Ether. Today is Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. Today on The Ether, Rune and Love, hosted by the Harmony Developer DAO. Let's take a listen.
I mean, there's always risk with any one of these systems, to be honest and to be fair. But I'm not sure the specifics of how Cardano's one actually functions or works.
And where do you think the developers are going to go from Terra? They're going to go to other IBC-compatible projects. They may go to ThorChain. They want to build on ThorChain, maybe.
Possibly. I mean, I would assume that a lot of them are going to stay with Terra and they're going to move to the new Terra 2, whatever it's going to be called or whatever it is. I think that a lot of them will probably stick there because that's what they're used to. Some might go to, like, you know, other ones that support CosmWasm. I think Osmosis supports CosmWasm, for example. ThorChain itself doesn't actually support smart contracting on purpose. So it's just not a good use case for what we're trying to accomplish as a project. And so they might come to build things on top of us, as a lot of teams have, but not directly on-chain per se. Some might even go to Ethereum as well and start writing in Solidity, which that would be a hard kind of shift to make because writing Solidity code sucks. Like, it's really
sucks.
Terrible. It's a terrible environment to write code in, to be honest with you. CosmWasm is a lot better in many ways, and it's a lot more secure naturally and out of the box.
Chad, what do you think about sharding? Do you like sharding?
Yes, partially. Depends on the case and scenario. Sharding sometimes can be helpful and sometimes cannot. So, like in Ethereum 2's case, sharding won't be as helpful as people think that it's going to be, just because the number of actual smart contracts that people are really using on Ethereum isn't as big as people think it is. And so by sharding, you're only really going to end up using a handful of shards. The rest of the market aren't going to have contention between the...
It makes me angry, though. I see a lot of protocols that advertise sharding. For example, Near Protocol, they advertise sharding. But they don't really use their sharding yet. And they keep on advertising it. They also advertise your ZK rollups and so forth, but no one really uses that either. So what's the objective here?
Well, I think the objective is the idea behind sharding in general is that you have several blockchains instead of one that are committing transactions, and therefore it can scale faster. But then the inherent problem becomes, well, how do you get a consensus on those shards? Which in Ethereum's case, they don't attempt to do it, to the best of my knowledge. But another protocol such as Radix, they do, and they actually can transfer state between shards, which has its own set of problems and struggles for sure.
That makes a lot of sense. You know what makes me so angry in this blockchain space is that there are so many chains out there. I actually started getting confused between Celo and Seller the other day. How is it that, no, I'm serious. Like, for example, there's about three chains that have almost exactly the same name. What do we do about understanding what chain we're investing in? You know, for example, ThorChain is like a powerful name, but it also, at the marketing for ThorChain, you know, is not amazing, I have to admit, but I want to learn more about it. So what is it about ThorChain that you just think is awesome?
What I would say that makes ThorChain awesome is that it solves problems that nobody's been able to solve for many, many years now, right? Trying to solve the most important problems in the industry. So its first most important problem that it solved was the idea of being able to move liquidity across chain in a completely decentralized way without requiring KYC, be completely permissionless, censorship resistant, and all these kind of things. That's been a problem that, like, you know, even Shapeshift was trying to solve back in 2014 and didn't do a great job in the end, just because they got, you know, attacked by the SEC and all these things. And
hey, no one wants to get attacked by the SEC.
No one wants to get, you know, butt fucked by the SEC for sure.
Butt fucked.
But But I think we have actually figured a way to solve that and actually have real liquidity rather than like atomic swaps, which is kind of a running joke for years now. But we solve a lot of these problems that nobody else has been able to solve for a long period of time. And so
is it we're because not just, they're dumb?
Not so much that they're dumb. It's just that the work required to accomplish this task of what Thorchain accomplishes takes many years of research and execution. The vast majority of crypto projects are like, hey, let's throw something together in like, you know, a few months and then throw it up in Solidity and, you know, shoot it out our asses. They go for the low hanging kind of quick low hanging fruit, the quick shot, and don't actually try to solve the real issue or even try to solve it in a holistic fashion. And so there's a lot of other things out there that do, you know, cross chain, whatever, but you know, it's only worked with EVMs and it's like, it's all, you know, held together by this one, you know, three or four multi-sig or like, it's just, you know, to me, these things are calamities just waiting to happen. And so, I think we as a project, as a community, thought that we would spend the actual amount of time and energy required to actually build something and actually roll our own chain, you know, more or less from scratch.
What makes me angry in this space is that when Terra went down, and Flu, maybe you could add in and chime in on this. You know, I see a lot of people talking about, oh, they knew it was going to happen. There were so many flaws. It was flawed to begin with. I'm like, well, why the fuck did you invest so much money into it? Have you looked at Harmony? Have you looked at Thorchain? They're like, oh, you know, I thought I was going to make a lot of money. Then 1 week before, they were saying, oh, how much they knew about, you know, Terra. So, Chad, is there something wrong with people mentally when it comes to understanding something? Because everything is fine until it's not fine. So the real question
your
is...
Your questions are fucking wild, bro. You're from Harmony, right? Like, you're goddamn... Your fucking picture, your everything is Harmony, right?
Well, you know, I think it's important to talk about this truthfully because as a developer on Harmony and other chains.
Oh no, I'm a huge fan of truthfulness. I think that anyone in here who follows me knows that I'm nothing if not truthful. But like these questions wild out, bro. Like you have earned like 10 cool points in my book because you're all over the fucking place, bro.
Can you or Chad or both of you talk about that problem because we're facing a new issue. There is fucking memory loss out there right now about what happened. And no one's really trying to uncover the truth of if it was either badly managed, Terra's collapse was either badly managed by the core team or it was flawed to begin, or the community realized they're in essentially a Ponzi scheme. What is your answer to how people move on from this is the question.
So I would say like the way that it was taken advantage of was a very, very targeted thing. You don't go into Curve and like randomly swap the entirety of the liquidity in Curve for another coin just because you're like wanting to get into that, like just because you're wanting to get into that stable. That's not something that anyone with any semblance of like, oh yeah, this is an investment would do. So let's get that like out there right quick. Yes, it was flawed, but it's just as flawed as any other coin. Like if I went in there right now with like $2 billion to play with, I could fuck up any stable coin in the market. 100%. And like that's the sort of thing that like people don't understand is that every single one of these pools is an island. Like every single one of them is an island. Like the way that that Curve pool worked is like it's by design. It is trading assets for one another, and like that's the way it is. There's not like a thing of like, oh well, it was flawed, but if it had only done this, it only did this. That's not how it is. That was an attack. That was a thing that happened. Was it flawed? Yes, but everything is flawed. We have no
I'm
perfect
flawed.
Solutions.
So I understand that, but I guess the question right now is, you know, we're all in the blockchain space. Hopefully most of us are here to make a positive difference in the world. But at the same time, people who got wrecked and ruined, how do you move on? What are your plans? Are you going to try and rebuild or are you going to try and organize rebuilding Terra? Move to a different chain. Like, how do you rationalize the logic of that decision? Because, you know, you have a limited amount of resources, a limited amount of time to rebuild. But I don't know if I was in your position what I would do.
I mean, I think that the only, I can't plan what I was going to do or what I'm going to do to recover based on how I wish that the world was. I can only do that and plan on how to recover based on how it is. So what I have to do is I have to plan on how to best protect myself going forward. I'm paid two different salaries at this point in USDC. And so now in order to recover from this loss, I'm going to be moving more of a percentage of that USDC directly out into fiat. Because, and this is crucial, I was using that sort of Luna and UST as like a savings account. And I was being irresponsible in the percentage that I'd allocated to that. So that's a life lesson for me personally, which is to never like really like not at the stage of wealth that I was in, I should not have been so undiversified. I should have been diversifying into more assets. And that's a lesson that I learned painfully in 1 week. And that's not a lesson that I should allow other people to continue to not learn. And I think that that's really the focus, is that like, I'm just going to diversify my assets. I'm going to buy some fucking gold, like a libertarian holed up in a house with a bunch of rifles, whatever.
Nice.
Like, it's fine. I'm going to go across some different
assets. Have you guys ever been to Freedom Fest by any chance? Freedom Fest?
No.
You can go buy gold there, talk to like 90-year-olds talking about how Abraham Lincoln was one of the world's worst presidents because they changed America into fiat. It's an amazing experience because you realize the gold bugs are still around. One guy said, make sure to turn off your lights each night. I said, why? So you can have a little bit more gold in your pocket. I was like, that's a good point. So Chad, what are you going to do from this point forward? You know, I see that ThorChain has a lot of market potential since Terra's collapse, right? That's like a huge market opening because it could be like a bridge. Instead of just Terra, you know, having all those wormholes, do you see any market opportunity here?
I mean, I don't think I kind of approach it or think about it in those ways. You know, our own algo stable that we've been thinking about for a long time now is not, was ever intended to or be anywhere close to what UST was designed to be. So it's not going to grow to 20 billion. I'd be surprised if it was a few million, to be honest with you. But yeah, there's not, I mean, I don't think about as a zero-sum game, as in Terra's out of the way, and now ThorChain can blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not the way that I kind of approach it or think about it. I just stay focused on what it is that we're trying to accomplish and how we're trying to add value to the industry, and as long as we stay true to that.
So let's just make sure people understand. It's about native integrations. You can send Bitcoin, real Bitcoin, to ThorChain and swap it for real Ethereum. There's no wrapped. And I hate wrapped Ethereum. I hate wrapped Bitcoin. It makes me really angry. You know what? And Harmony, we're building a bridge for Bitcoin, but at the same time, it's really hard. So Harry, I want you to this conversation. Actually. Well, it does, but I think you have to actually collateralize the Bitcoin in order to use it, correct?
Yes, you do.
And in the case of ThorChain, they don't have that problem, correct, Chad?
So that problem in terms of needing to collateralize all the Bitcoin on the network?
Yeah, and then you can push it through. In your case, you can just send it, correct?
Right, you just send Bitcoin in, the network sends you Ethereum on the other side.
Yeah, because you have pools. You have large liquidity pools that do it. I think Harmony's way is a bit different. It should improve it over time. But, you know, having interacted with that, you know, it's a good first step in that direction. Not every chain has that integration. Harmony does have that integration, but it's certainly important for GameFi if anyone who's a Bitcoiner wants to access that. So, Harry, you love XRP. Why?
XRP is awesome, man. It, you can put anything on XRP, Bitcoin, Ethereum, especially with those gas fees and long transaction times. It is, you know, it makes the most sense. It's the green way to go. And I did have a comment when you guys were talking about shards. I swore you guys were saying sharts, like farts, like for like a hot minute. So it's shards, right? Yeah.
Shards. That's what I was saying.
Cool. Because you guys, I swear it was like sharding. Like. I was kind of laughing.
Well, everyone, we were talking about it coming out of the ass and so forth. Yeah. I mean, I can understand there's some confusion between sharting and sharding. But you know what? I love your profile photo. Rockets and oranges. Oranges to the moon, man. So, you know, as a Harmony developer myself, you know, the whole situation is really screwed up in terms of where people place their trust. How do you feel when you go into a new chain? How do you try and place your trust? Do you look at the documentation or do you talk to the developers like Chad, very handsome man, by the way? And or what do you do? Flu, go first and then Chad. Okay, Chad.
Yeah, whenever I'm evaluating a project, the very first thing I always do is try to understand what is the problem. What is the problem they're trying to solve? If it's solving a problem that I want to see solved, that's my first kind of like litmus test, smell test, if you want to call it that. Then I'll go into the white paper, read through it, understand it. If I can ask questions to the team or the community about how does this work and what happens when this happens and whatever line of questioning I might have, and if they can pass my economic kind of barometer, then I'll look at the team itself and what they're building and when they're building and look at the code and the commits and see what the actual progress is. If there's actually like a good community around it, like these kind of things. But to be honest, like I really haven't invested in very much over the last couple of years. Like I never even really invested into Luna just because, not because I was like against Luna or anything like this, but just because I've just been so focused on my own work that I really just want to spare cycles to start diving into the depths of project A, B, or C for the most part.
No, that's smart, man. You know, investing in DCAing down when there's a crisis doesn't mean that you're going to be rich long term. It just means that you're going to be poor short term, probably. And, you know, a lot of people maybe are overly invested in the market. But, you know, as a developer, all you can see is a tech. So from your perspective, Chad, where do you see blockchain tech going right now? Is it the use cases? Is it the games? Or is it the swaps?
It's going to go in every direction for sure. Like it's going to go further out into the NFT world, further out into the gaming world, further out into the DeFi space, further out into the currency or like, you know, store value space and other spaces we haven't even, hasn't even emerged yet. Like this, it's going to emerge more so in each of these little sub industries within crypto land is going to get bigger and more valuable, have more capital behind it. That's pretty clear to me for sure. Web3 is something that needs to kind of needs more time to kind of foster. People have a kind of a misunderstanding of Web3, in my opinion, and that will certainly change over the next 3 years.
Well, I hope so. We need Web4 coming up pretty soon. Flu, you left and now you're back. What do you have to say? Okay. Logan, do you want to talk about your videos? By the way, Logan made some great videos on Harmony. He's also a very handsome man.
I appreciate that, bro. Thank you. So I do weekly videos for Harmony called the One Weekly, and it covers like different releases that are happening with like on-chain partners or on-chain projects, and it covers like ecosystem updates, and we have a technical corner where we kind of like dig deep and talk about kind of the developer and technical side of Harmony and what goes on behind the scenes. So actually this week, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we have a special version of the One Weekly coming out where we're talking about Harmony's offsite meeting. So,
that's fantastic. Yeah. You all got to watch it. Really good videos because unlike Cardano, they don't last like 30 minutes. They're actually concise. Less words can often be more. So now I want to move on to an important issue. I was actually at the BitConnect conference in Thailand where that guy yelled out, "I love BitConnect!" You know, my question to you guys is, you know, with all these problems, you know, crypto's got a bad reputation right now. Is it through marketing that we improve it or through the tech alone? I mean, Chad, you're doing a lot of great things. But at the same time, when I try and convince people that there's a lot of potential use cases for blockchain, they'll ask, what about all the scams? Do you actually think there are a lot of scams out there, or do you think that's the media just likes to report on them? Harry, I see your hands up. Do you want to talk about it first, and then we go to Chad?
Yes, because I deal with this all the time with the family members. The news is terrible with blockchain. I see them pushing Ethereum and all this other stuff. And as you were saying earlier, you don't want to mess with the SEC. Ripple, the whole SEC case, they were talking about it today, actually. And they were saying, essentially, you know, they hold half, $55 billion of the XRP, which is absolutely not true. It's stored in escrow. They can't just sell it. They can't send it. It's all doing its own thing on an algorithm. But, yeah, they basically watch the news. And the SEC case with Ripple is going to really be promoting the entire space once it's settled, because what they're saying and what they're accused of is not what they were doing. And once that's settled, we're gonna see the space explode, especially the cross border.
Hashtag justice for XRP.
No, dude, it's all bullshit. Even, you know, Cardano CEO was saying the same thing. If you've been in the space for years and years, you know what's going on. So as soon as that's done, the regulations are gonna kick in, And that had to do a lot with Luna. It was kind of ironic that they had all those meetings about stable coins like the day after. So that's all. It's all inside jobs that promote it to regulate.
No, I agree. You know, I almost worked for the SEC. I did an interview there. When I went to their canteen, I asked, this is the canteen. They said, yes. Like, do you have any side dishes? They're like, we don't have side dishes. You just have like spaghetti and things like this. I was like, man, I can't work here. So anyway, Chad, what do you think about this? Do you think these are overblown?
Yes and no. I mean, some of the biggest, scams we've seen in crypto, over like one of the biggest, siphons of funds we've ever seen. And like even within traditional finance, but at the same time, like whenever you have a massive technological innovation, there's always a huge slew of inbound capital. And then there's also, because a lot of inbound capital, there's lots of people who come in to kind of scam whatever. And especially in this particular industry where it's so, the barrier to entry is so small relative to like the old days, like when the internet first came out, there was this huge, a lot of scams happening in the space. I mean, there was even one company that took like, I think it was like $1.5 million in investment from angels. And I spent $1 million just on the launch party alone. And they kind of scammed with their investors in that sense. But even in like the railroad mania of 1860s, both in the United States and the UK, there was a massive influx of capital, a lot of scams, throwing down new railroads. They didn't even agree yet on what the actual width of the railroad connection is going to be. And like it was horrible for the first, 10, 15 years or so before they actually kind of finalized on something. But like, that's just like a natural thing to happen. Whenever you see some sort of massive technological innovation, you see an influx of huge amount of capital, and the influx of capital just calls a lot of, bullshit, scammery, and horseshit. I mean, a lot of these projects in the space aren't actually bullshit. They're just people who are genuinely trying to build a project, and then it either doesn't work out, or they just lack the technical skills, or they run out of funding, or like, whatever it might be, the whole thing just collapses in on itself through, bad economic design or whatever. But I mean, I don't really consider what we're seeing in this case of like the literal crypto space as being any different than what we've seen in previous markets or in previous kind of systems.
So I think, if you want to harken back to the era of the 1860s, which I was there for, the railroad boom was one of the reasons for it was a lot of liquidity, right? After the Civil War, especially, Congress funded many railroads without really a good understanding of how to regulate it. There was not a lot of supervision. They were throwing tons of money at it. The stock market, even then there was a way of basically investing in these stocks. And what makes me very angry is that people don't talk about the past with context, right? They act as if crypto is just this new thing that's never been around before, that investors for the first time ever are losing money. But what about the context of this? Do you guys ever think, guys, let's just think about all the problems we've had in finance before, and now you can send transfers for very low fees. We don't have to use Western Union PayPal anymore. How does that work out when you talk to people about this? They say, hey, you can't mine Bitcoin. That's not a real thing. I said, Grandpa, just because I can't see the Bitcoin doesn't mean I can't hold the Bitcoin. He said, what do you mean you hold Bitcoin? I was like, you know what I mean. You can hold the Bitcoin. So what do you guys see? Do we have to kind of talk to people as if crypto is going to change the world, or just in the context of just things being improved over time? What is your thesis?
Well, I was actually just talking to this woman I met at a birthday party, and she's in her late or mid 60s. And she heard about Bitcoin, but didn't really know much about it. And so I basically talked her ear off more or less the entire night mostly about Bitcoin. And I think for her, it's a hard sell. For most people, it's a hard sell to talk about peer-to-peer transactions because, the dollar works for them quite well. And it's a hard sell to talk about, banks taking your money or the government seizing your capital, blah, blah, blah. That's also a hard sell. It is here in the United States. Maybe it's not so hard in other countries, but in this country it is. So the thing that I was actually able to get her interested or intrigued about it is the idea that crypto is one of the first, or if not the first, financial instrument that gives complete equality to every man, woman, and child across the entire planet. And so that they understand. That they understand that, like, oh, as a woman, I have a hard time, operating within the traditional finance industry. Right? You get labeled and you get treated differently, or I don't have access to loans, and my my way that my place that I live, my community that I live in, some people just don't have access to that stuff. And so like, that's actually much more, to me, it seems like a much more, you know, conducive way to kind of connect people to the value of what crypto and Bitcoin and DeFi protocols and such can like actually accomplish and improve humanity.
So Harry is here. Harry, what do you have to say for yourself?
Well, I think it's a lot of people have the misconception of what crypto actually is, but it's an easy question. If you ask, you know, more people have cell phones than bank accounts, especially in third world, like Africa, those kind of areas. And it's basically an obvious answer where it's going. People just don't understand the banking system. It's a lack of education. And more people have cell phones, so they have more access to peer-to-peer transactions than banks. It's going to be, you know, that's obvious. If you just ask that one question, people have a hard time answering.
No, that's a fair point.
Yeah, this woman I was talking to, I told her, like, you know, when you put your money into a bank, it legally is not actually your money. It's legally it becomes the bank's money. Which she's like, no, that's not true. I said, no, actually, it's 100% legally true. That's why they can seize it if they become into, like, you know, become bankrupt or whatnot. They can just take your money and pay off their own debts. Like, that's perfectly legal.
Same thing
shit.
With loans. Yep.
Yeah, same thing. It's
that's no good, guys.
For most of the industry, most of the people, and especially in first world countries, have no idea that this does happen and that it can happen.
I see one Jan is here. One Jan, what do you have to say for yourself? Do you believe in the banking system or do you believe in NFTs?
Yeah, so I actually wanted to contribute here. For those of you who don't know, I'm just the One Can Project is a project on Harmony One, specifically focused around making a...
Shill it, baby.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go too in-depth, but yeah, we're basically just a game on the Harmony One ecosystem. And I actually wanted to float a question here as well, because just contributing to the conversation around widespread adoption and mainstream adoption of this technology, what role do you guys think that companies will have when it comes to contributing to that widespread adoption? I mean, like, companies, particularly tech companies, perhaps creating their own blockchains or contributing to existing ecosystems, because I think that would also play a huge part in sort of addressing those concerns that people have regarding, oh yeah, the assets are too volatile, or like the barrier to entries are too high.
Let's leave that to Chad, because he's actually one of the best developers in blockchain. I mean that. I mean, ThorChain is incredibly hard to implement. So Chad, what do you think about that?
Well, it's very hard for corporations to actually connect to and contribute to like ecosystems. Like, look at Coinbase, for example. Their entire business model is like 98% Bitcoin, and yet the amount of contributions they make as a company to Bitcoin, like the core protocol, is laughably small, right? Just because it makes no economic sense for them as a company to contribute to Bitcoin, even though they like their entire business model is based around Bitcoin, which is somewhat almost comical. I mean, I think we're moving into what I consider to be a post-corporate world, where we can now build you know, services that are solely public good networks, and they don't exist for board of directors to make, you know, boatloads of money. They don't exist for CEOs to be, you know, the next biggest thing in the world and big famous people like Elon Musk or whatever. They exist solely to service humanity, and their only purpose to exist is just to provide some basic services for every person across the world. And that's very difficult for a corporation to compete with, because what we do as an industry is fundamentally better than anything they can provide, and will do it cheaper and more effectively.
I think it's a good point, Chad. You know, when I asked one billionaire who owns a very large bank, why did you buy this bank in Indonesia? He said, I just like the name. So Harry, what do you think about that?
You know, exactly what Chad was saying at the end there, to make things more efficient, save money, and then basically it's better for the consumer. Ripple has done that we're using XRP with MoneyGram, cross borders from Mexico to the United States, and they saved a ton of money doing that. And actually their contract ended, but that was just a test. And I think they saved so much money that they like doubled in revenue just by doing that. So that's a small fraction. But in the end, it's not going to be like, I feel like how it's always been, you know, this is going to be another revolution where they're going to be coming to us for solutions how to make their stuff better. Just like NFTs, it's just a picture now. It's more than that. You can put like deeds, documents, get rid of title fraud, people stealing your house. You don't even know, taking liens on your house. You have no idea, loans, etc. All that is going to be abolished with NFTs because no one can steal your property if it's, you know, on the blockchain.
Well, on the NFT note, let's talk a little about 1Gen. Did you know that 1Gen is an NFT game where you can do all sorts of really cool stuff, 100% minted on the blockchain? And not only that, but then there's an island that awaits you. Ooh, an island. I love islands. A multiplayer social metaverse game where there's 1,000 minted. Woohoo! And you can move around like a bird. Actually, literally, it's an actual bird that you move around with in a pixelated fashion. And these birds, they can talk to you. There's a wonderful roadmap. You got to build this community. You got to be onboarding artists. You got to create custom artwork. World expands over time. Ever-ending lore surrounded by the peninsula of Vol'jan and its inhabitants. You can use your 1Gen as a playable character in-game sprite. Oh, that's very cool. And the launch of usable in-game NFT items. Wow. Incorporation of seasons. I love seasons. I love seasons so much. When it's spring, I'm happy. Expansion of all these new maps and characters, and you get to breed, baby. You get to breed, baby. Baby Jans with use cases in-game. Creating a little DAO called Sanctuary DAO. Purpose of the DAO is to fund a Pico. Wow, that's amazing, man. I love this project. You are an amazing project, 1Gen. You came in here to shill, but I am shilling you because you're so awesome. So let's move over to the new topic. My question now.
As a bird? Can you poop on people walking as a bird? That's my question.
1Gen, answer, please.
Okay, first of all, every single company needs to hire you as a fucking infomercial person because that was incredible.
Already have.
That was unreal. Unfortunately, the mechanic for pooping on other people is not currently in development.
Damn it.
However, I will be talking to the developers further to see if we can implement that.
This is one of the most hilarious conversations I've heard on Twitter Spaces in a while, by the way.
No, the mechanic for pooping on people is still in development.
I should have said.
Well, I mean, it's an important part about it because I've been pooped on birds and pooped on different chains all the time. I got shat on by Terra, not sharding, but sharting. I got huge amounts of sharting on my face, man, when that thing collapsed. But it doesn't matter because we move on as a community. So my question now is, what do you think is the best way of building a community? Is it by having a lot of Twitter spaces? Because right now, today, there are at least 10 different Harmony spaces, of which most of the people who attended were the exact same people who attended the other spaces. It's not rotation capital. It's people rotation. So how do you build a great community? Go for Chad first and then Harry.
Oh, I don't know. I'm an engineer, so I didn't actually take the. I don't take the credit for building the community in ThorChain, to be honest. But building a valuable Twitter account that actually gives strong insights and understanding about the industry in general is a good way of doing it. Providing value, people will come to you. That's how I would think about it. Providing value is the most important thing.
Harry, how do you build your community in XRP? Do you just talk a lot about the SEC and how evil they are?
No, you kind of go down the rabbit hole and you just look at the documents that they're doing behind the scenes. It is actually quite remarkable that a lot of this stuff is unbelievable and most people will call you a FUDbuster, but they're too afraid to actually read the documents. So if you actually lay it out and you speak in slow English, you know, they kind of understand. You got to dumb it down sometimes, but, you know, avoid the FUD. Yeah.
Fucking, I hate FUD. I hate when people shart. On me as well, Terra Luna. But you know what? 1Gen is here because it's going to implement sharting on the player. You get to be a little bird moving around the map, and that's going to be an implementable feature in the future, I hope. But right now, let's talk a little bit about what do we do when we're in a situation. The bear market is extremely harsh. Do you guys ever feel sad? I myself, what I do is I eat a strawberry milkshake every single night and I cry myself to sleep. What do you guys do?
The pump is always out there. There's no such thing as a bear market.
Pump it up. Pump it up. Chad, do you believe in trying to pump it up?
Bear markets are great things, actually, at least for me. My mentality, like bear markets is where you build. Bear markets is where you innovate. Bear markets is where you create new opportunities and potentials. So it's a nice downtime to kind of regear, huddle up and start, you know, shipping some really important code. So I'm always been kind of excited about bear markets to some degree.
That's true. Some say a recession is important because it takes away misallocated funding to fools, and it's a way of cleansing the economy. A great, what you put in the butt with the water, that kind of thing. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about ZK rollups. Chad, do you really think the ZK rollups are that important?
Yeah, they could be, for sure. I almost think of ZK rollups as kind of like school buses. You know, I mean, like, if you're going to drive down the highway, you can either get in a car, which is a regular transaction, or you can get into like a bus with a bunch of people and go down the highway. It's much more efficient. So it has some good potentials around it. And I'd like to see that kind of, you know, pan out over the next, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years to see how that's actually being utilized. But ZK rollups have a really good or interesting design pattern to them that could be valuable.
That's cool. And what is the difference between optimistic rollups and ZK rollups? Chad?
I'm not sure if I could give you a strong answer, to be honest with you. I think optimistic rollups came out of like a modular concept, a modular blockchain concept. ZK rollups come from a different mechanism. But I honestly don't think I could give you a strong or good answer on that, to be honest.
That's cool. And ZK rollups require a different language to build on, correct?
I don't think so. That could be wrong.
I mean, okay, fair enough.
It's more like a concept, not necessarily a specific implementation.
No, that's fair enough. So, Chad, being a developer and having a lot of money in the bank, do you feel inflation? I know that you're working at home, you got a lot of liquid assets going on, but how do you feel about the inflation? Do you think that even inflation is overhyped right now?
You mean like inflation of the dollar?
Inflation of your life, prices everywhere, food, cars, everything.
Yeah. Thankfully, I kind of avoid all that and just let my wife worry about it because she takes nice. Care of the house.
So my wife's boyfriend takes care of me.
Okay. That sounds like a complicated scenario. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. I mean, okay, Logan, what do you feel? You run your own business. Do you feel inflation's impacted you?
Oh my God, yes. Inflation has completely ruined a lot of things in my personal life and also in my business. I think to even take it a step further, until you change the mentality of credit card points to sats, like people value credit card points more than they value sats right now. And that to me is just mind boggling. I mean, we've got to change that mentality to be able to get to a world where, you know, we're all communicating in the same store of value. But I think that inflation is just another way to get people to move towards that point system, because they're like, oh, well, if I have to spend my dollars anyway, then I may as well earn points to be able to, you know, spend as if I have to spend $300 on my groceries, I may as well earn points for it rather than spending my cash and just pissing it away. And so if there was a way, an easy way, and it's a simple way for people to start earning, you know, Harmony or Rune or Safe Moon or whatever, to earn that as a reward of spending their hard-earned dollars, then maybe, just maybe, you'll be able to switch that mentality. And that's the gateway in, is the point system that credit cards are currently using to trick people into high interest rates. And I'm not saying to trick people into getting Safe Moon or Harmony or whatever. It's tricking people into a better system. It's getting them to understand better issuance, if that makes sense. That's just my own two cents.
No, I think inflation is actually part and parcel of the whole blockchain argument, because we're dealing with basically currencies, right? And you saw what happened to Terra Luna when it blew up. It didn't affect Bitcoin. Bitcoin's price is about the same as what it was before. And it shows you actually at least the ecosystem to an extent is decentralized. You know, when you have different currencies with their own value, it kind of allows you to move away partially from fiat, but you still have to move partially to fiat too, you know, because you got to eat too. So anyway, with that said, what do you guys like to drive? Are you thinking that we're all going to be in the EV situation? Because apparently the price of fuel is going up to $5, guys, or are you just going to start walking?
Fred Flintstone, you know, he knows what to do. But also, I want to piggyback on your inflation comment real quick. I don't know if you ever looked into the milkshake theory. You guys ever heard of that?
I'm going to drink your milkshake.
Yeah, and you're going to say something slick. But the milkshake theory is essentially 2008, the housing market, all that stuff. Things should have happened that should not have happened faster. So we're kind of like delayed. So it's like the debt per citizen in the United States is at all time high. It's like recession.
90 time. Trillion, just 90 trillion though.
Yeah, but no, I think it's more than that. But anyways, continue forward. Fuck. What the milkshake theory basically says is everyone's going to be going to the U.S. dollar, you know, as a safe haven, even though we know it's all shit. They're printing like crazy, but it's going to all the other currencies are going to start losing their value. Kind of seen it already happening. So they're all going to go to the U.S. dollar until there's no more liquidity to anywhere. So, and then they're going to have like the reset. I know you guys have all heard about this, and I would not be surprised if the SEC and all that XRP lawsuit settles all around the same time. And then, you know, the consumer would have no idea because Visa transactions are way too expensive. You can just use XRP. As crazy as that sounds, if you swipe your card, it's way more expensive than using XRP. And all those people are on the board of the Faster Payments Council with MasterCard, Visa, Amex. And then you got Ripple executives right there. So, I mean, it's very
obvious. Let's ask a Canadian. Canadians are people, too. JB, you're Canadian. What's it like?
Oh, JB, get out.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm Canadian.
It says you're Canadian.
Okay, yeah, okay. Well, but the question?
What's it like living with inflation in Canada right now?
Oh, it's fucked up, bro. So I went, so the gas now, okay, it's $2.15 a liter.
That's crazy.
Yes, CAD, but still, it's pretty much, it's like $1.90 USD a liter, bro.
So imagine my kind of question is, if there's so much inflation and people need returns, I feel even during a bear market, people will search for crypto because it's, yeah, kind of speculative, but at the same time, it has a lot of promise. Do you even feel that thesis makes sense?
It's not speculative. Like, in my opinion, from my research, crypto, it's the least speculative asset, you know, aside from real estate, you know, crypto is far less speculative than stocks, in my opinion, you know?
Yeah, fair enough, but remember to buy some Harmony, XRP, and ThorChain. This is financial advice. Okay, I'm just joking. Yeah. It's not financial advice. If you sue me, you can't find me. Fair enough. So, Logan, let me ask you another question. You know, when you open up your videos and when you go into your office, and do you feel like confidence in the economy is coming back? Or do you feel like this is like the late 1990s where all hell's breaking loose, the apocalypse is coming, everyone crying in the corner in a fetal position?
I already have done that twice in my office alone.
Nice.
That it's the late 1990s is probably a little too late. I think that we've already gotten past that, but I could be completely wrong. We could see more pain coming. No one knows the future. I don't even know. All I know is this. Last year I had 4 employees and now I'm down to 1 because literally I cannot find a contract anywhere in this godforsaken.
What do you do?
I do photo and video production.
Cool. Wow, that's tough, man. That's fucked up. We got to help Logan by watching his videos. That's the least we can do to him, you know, just help him out. Do what we can. So Chad, you know, now we're coming towards the end of this discussion of meeting and of minds of intellectuals. What do you read, Chad? What do you read?
What I read. So I generally will read either some boring computer science like textbooks or books to help kind of hone my skills, or I'll dive into something I'm actually interested in, like astrophysics or something like this, and learn more about that.
You want to literally go to the moon, Chad?
I don't think I want to go there because there's a good chance I'd die. But I would like to send some shit there, like to send up some, you know, drones and shit like that. Like that'd be fun as hell.
Did anyone ever use those model rockets back in the day where you fly the rockets up into the sky using those little engines?
It always hit the top and came back down.
That's right. Flat Earth. Harry, what do you think? You have an orange and a rocket. Does the rocket go to the moon to send oranges?
So the caption of my profile picture says Joseph Stalin, but Stalin. Ooh. Okay. We're all going to the moon, especially if you buy XRP.
Nice. XRP is where it's at. Harmony and ThorChain. Get those ThorChain models.
Okay, so I have a theory, okay? So Luna Luna's going to have a new Luna Classic, right? And the people are going to get, yeah, so and people are going to get airdropped the amount that they had before, you know? And Doquan said that the new holders will also have Luna, okay? What if this event like triggers a huge pump for Luna? Because we all know how the XRPL drops work, right? It goes up like 1500%, if not more than that, and then it crashes back down. Like I've been thinking this like for 2 days now.
For 2 days only? Have you been thinking about it for every hour of those 2 days, or just between bathroom breaks?
No, bro. I've been thinking about it since Do Kwon said that new holders will also get Luna.
We can trust him. He's a trustworthy guy.
He's a trustworthy guy. You know, JP, from a country that had Pierre Trudeau, one of the great politicians and honest business people in our lives. What is your opinion of Pierre Trudeau's, would he buy Bitcoin or would he buy XRP? Go.
Pierre or the son or dad?
No, the dad. Fuck the son, man. Are you serious?
Okay, Pierre Trudeau. I think he would, because I find that Trudeau, like he ruled the country like how he saw fit, right? Not really like accounting on the opinion of people. So I think that he would buy the fuck out of it.
Yeah, well, fair enough. When you're Pierre Trudeau and you think you're a god, do you need to even listen to people? No, I don't think so.
Not really. No,
no, you don't.
Not at all, bro. Because he worked by what he thought and not by the votes of people.
That's fair enough. Okay, we're coming to the close of this room because the people in this room are so good. They're paid so much that we can literally not afford to keep them in this room any longer. Currently, Chad, hourly is more than my monthly salary. So let's just keep that in mind, guys. No, I'm serious. I don't know why you guys are you laughing at me? Are you saying I'm poor? Fair enough. Anyway, so last question, everyone.
As long as you're paying in Luna Classic.
Well, it would still be in the same dollar value, and I'm still poor, so I guess it works out. Anyway, so what do we think, guys, of the next 6 months? What are you guys going to be up to? Chad, are you just going to be building? Is that even a word? Building?
I will be building, yes. I think the thing that we'll be working on the most over the next few months within the 4chain project is two things. One is DEX aggregation, and so that allows any DEX from any ecosystem to connect to another DEX of another ecosystem. And so all of a sudden every DEX in the world can basically have access to every asset in the world, which is a pretty crazy notion. And the other thing we're working on is what we call Storified. So that's something we'll probably be launching on StageNet in the next few months, of getting derived assets, lending, and interest accounts.
Fair enough. That's amazing. Harry, as a communist, what are you going to be doing?
I'm not a communist, but we're going to be making some big moves over here, building a lot of things on the NFT or the XRPL, promoting that and trying to bust the FUD. And also, I posted the milkshake theory up here on the top of our rune page, so I would definitely
read it, baby, read it.
I would you gotta watch it. It's a nasty, disgusting milkshake. It's probably got lots of dodo bird poop in there, and
nice.
It's all blended up. But that's what I foresee in the next coming months. Yep, that's basically it.
Fair enough, sir. Lowen, are you just going to be making more videos, informing more people, educating more people, helping more people, trying to help that old grandma understand how to buy some Harmony? What are you going to be doing?
Hey, man, I'm going to my local's farmer's market. I'm doing the next right thing. You should, too.
Fair enough, sir. Well, that was a great combo. And JP, I'm going to leave it to you. Last word, being a Quebecois, why life? Why? Why
life? Don't say Luna.
Yeah,
I love being here in Quebec because the housing market is so much cheaper than in Vancouver, Toronto. So I fucking love it. Rents are affordable.
That's amazing. Okay, everyone, remember, check out Harmony. Follow me to victory. I am the infantry. Go to our Discord. Say silly things. Follow Chad. Follow Harry. Follow Logan and watch his videos. Have a good night. Believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, then that's just too bad. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
Later.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Rune and Love Space, hosted by the Harmony Developer DAO, recorded on Tuesday, May 17th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Laying there at night while I'm counting sheep. Brain on repeat, no amount of please. Would you shut the fuck up? Yo, I'm trying to sleep. Not till you write it down to remind your genius ass in the morning. When you wake up to realize it was nothing more than a weird dream. And you feel like everybody's on the tape, but things aren't always what they seem. What's real to me isn't real to you. Living this reality is barely new. And if you've seen this little feud, you'd be filling up your gas tanks too. We're living in a fucking simulation of a simulation. Don't look back or you'll get sucked into the miscommunication. All this dumb fucking ruckus, drink bleach here. Keep a tight demeanor and swing for the bleachers.
This ball is crushed.
I feel like I wanna kick the bucket over, spill the fun, release some of the means of hunting all these silly motherfuckers coming at us like we don't got a bunch of guns or something. These are fucked up times we're living in, and I don't need the judgment. Free to suffer, no need to suffer, the leaders busting freedom, hunter disagreements, wander cold streets filled with screaming bottom feeders. Take me to your leaders, blasting propaganda through the speakers. So if you wanna build, let's build. But if you wanna steal, get buried in the field. Double duty at the Rockin' Rudy, coppin' fruity, not a newbie. Got the rubies hostile, looking like Chewbacca, threw me through the window. Fucking sue me, now I'm looking all hypnotic bougie with a bunch of suckers I went to school with who barely knew me. Students sitting here fucking clueless, looking at the next duck trying to see who the goose is. Should've paid more attention to the hole in the boat. Now tell me why y'all still vote.